A University of Oregon runner, Tange Pipo. He thought he had the race all locked up as he was running track for his school. And so far ahead he was in the race that he began to slow up and began to raise his hands to the crowd and began to wave at them as he was going to win this race by just a landslide of ease. And as he was waving to the crowd, little did he recognize the University of Washington runner that was quickly catching up to him. And just as the University of Oregon runner people was about to cross the finish line, the University of Washington runner ducked his chest ahead of him and won the race. Pipo laid on the ground in shock and disbelief with his head on his hands that he had just lost such a critical match for his university. It is something that has happened a lot in sports. If you've watched any football over the past couple of years, you might have watched a number of football players and their anxiety to begin to exercise their celebration, drop the ball before they cross the goal line, and begin to cheer and all that while the other team grabs the ball and runs back the other direction as he fumbled it right before walking in. There is such a tendency within humanity to believe you have attained the goal and begin to celebrate before the goal has actually been attained. To begin just to cheer and go, well, we've got this, we've got it all settled in, we've got it all figured out. How many times you've seen that in athletic competitions where the lead becomes so big that the winning team just kind of goes into cruise control and relaxes, only to watch the other team race right back in and win the game. And Paul is talking about this problem that humans have regarding taking it easy, slowing up, and believing that you have already attained to the goal, that you've already accomplished the task, that you have already reached that finish line. In fact, you notice how verse 12 begins when he simply says, "Not that I have already obtained this." Obtained what? Not that I've already obtained this. Now, if you remember over these past few verses in Philippians chapter 3, we see the Apostle Paul referring to this resume of accomplishments that he is describing, that he will count everything in his life and all the gains that he may have. He would count those things as loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. And has explained in that paragraph the reason why he wants to know Christ so desperately is that he might gain Christ, to be found righteous in Christ. And as you come into verse 11, he says there that we would be able to know Christ and by all means attain the resurrection from the dead. I want to know Christ, and that's why I cast everything that I have in my life, all of those successes, all of the positive, all of the achievements, I count them as loss, I count them as trash, I throw them in the trash can because I want to know Christ and I want to attain the resurrection. And then he begins here in verse 12 and he says, now it's not that I've obtained that or that I'm already perfect. What you begin to see the Apostle Paul showing here is a resolve regarding having a proper perspective of where he is in his spiritual journey. That here is the Apostle Paul saying, I'm pursuing Christ and I'm counting all things as lost. I'm casting those achievements aside and I'm pressing to know Him so I might be found righteous in Him, to attain the resurrection that would be found in Him. And it's not that I've obtained those things yet. I haven't reached that mark. And when I read that, I mean, to me, that line is a showstopper when I begin reading, because I just sit there and go, well, Paul, if you haven't obtained it, I'm way down the ladder on even being close then. And Paul, if you stand back and say, I haven't obtained these things, I'm not already perfect, and that's why I'm pressing that I do not give up. Notice verse 12, but I press on to make it my own. Here is Paul describing really an intensity in his pursuit. He understands his proper position before God, and he understands that he has not attained a full knowledge of Christ and a sharing in that resurrection, and so he presses on to make that possible. He presses on so that he can know Christ, that he makes every effort to be able to make this goal attainable. And I think this is so important when we speak of this effort in what we do regarding Christ, is that there can be such a sense of coming to Christ, and I know all the important verses, I go to worship regularly, I pray, and so I can coast now, right? I've attained spiritual wisdom and knowledge, and I'm doing really well, and I believe that I'm a strong Christian, and look at how good I'm doing, and we begin to coast. We begin to not be intense in our pursuit of Christ. Maybe no longer praying as frequently. Maybe no longer worshiping with other Christians as frequently. Maybe not reading as much. We just kind of look at it and we begin to be like what we see in the world around us, that we can kind of put our hands in the air and go, well, I've made it. I'm good, right? We're going to make it. And Paul says, I haven't attained it yet. We haven't crossed the finish line yet. He says, I'm pursuing, I'm pressing on. And notice the motivation that he gives there in verse 12. He says, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Oh, that's beautiful. I'm pressing on. I have the intensity of the pursuit because I want to possess Christ, because He possesses me. He's captivated me. He's captured me. And so look at what He's done for me, and I want to possess Him. So he looks at his life and says, look at what Christ has done for me, and I want to continue to press on and continue to know Him, continue in this intense pursuit of Him. One of the things that I think is such a interesting warning in the Old Testament scriptures and the New Testament scriptures is about the need to continue to pursue, to continue to press on. And Paul is describing that here, that for us to live is Christ and to die is gain. It means for us that there must be a continued spiritual progression, that we are always pushing forward, that we're always pressing on to the goal that's before us. The writer of Hebrews arguably could say this is one of the great themes that he gets at. While this huge theme of the superiority of Christ, he continues to drop into these warning statements throughout the book to tell you, you need to keep pushing forward. Don't fall back. Don't give up. Like this in Hebrews 2 in verse 1. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Notice the picture that's being given here, that if you're not pressing forward, you're falling back. And I think it is so fascinating that the writer does not say, now make sure you don't forsake such a great salvation. It's not the word that he uses. He uses the word neglect, a lack of intensity, no longer pursuing with all of your might. You just neglect it. I'm not forsaking God. I'm not giving up on God.
We just kind of neglect him from time to time. We just don't give him the attention that he deserves, the time that he ought to receive from us. That's what the writer is getting at here as he says these things. And he says, notice he says, therefore, we must pay closer attention. Because, he says there in verse 1, we'll drift away. And this is what the Apostle Paul is absolutely saying to these Philippian Christians, is press on. And so he wants to ensure them, say, I don't look at myself with all of those achievements and spiritual success, and here I am as an apostle of Christ. He says, I haven't obtained it yet. I have not been made perfect yet. I'm pressing to that goal. There's an intensity, a mindset that says I must give maximum effort to God every day. That's what makes the race so silly about the University of Oregon fellow. You just had to run hard a few more yards, and then you could have laid down on the ground and relaxed with victory in hand. But you started to coast early and you lost. And that's what we can do that the Apostle Paul is warning against. Give maximum effort every day. The coasting and the relaxing will come at the end. It's not right now. Maximum effort, intensity of pursuit. Do not neglect, but pay close attention to this salvation so that you do not drift away. A warning against that neglect. In fact, he presses it twice. Look at verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. Do you like that he just said that twice? In verse 12, he just said, I have not obtained this. And then in verse 13, he says, I do not consider that I've made it my own. Let me drive it into you, Philippian Christians. I'm not there yet. Nobody's there yet. I haven't obtained this. I'm not already perfect. I haven't made it my own. I haven't captured this yet. But one thing I do, verse 13, and I love when you come across those places in scriptures that will tell you, here's the one thing. I loved it with Mary and Martha in the Gospel of Luke when Jesus is telling Martha, there is one necessary thing. And there are things like that in my life. I like to go, okay, here's the big thing. Here's the big E on the I chart. Here's the one thing you need to pay attention to. And notice the Apostle Paul does that here in verse 13. He says, one thing I do, one thing. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Now, this is kind of one of those one-liners that I think can be used out of context some and be like, well, okay, I forget everything and, you know, we're just going forward. Not the idea. What was the context here that the Apostle Paul writes this and says, now I'm forgetting what lies behind? All of that success, that's what has been his context in this letter. All the good that he's done, all that success, all of those achievements, all the things that would give one confidence in the flesh. He says, I'm forgetting the things that lie behind. I'm forgetting that. And instead, I'm pressing forward. It doesn't matter what you've accomplished in the past. It doesn't matter how spiritually strong you were yesterday, last week, last month, last year. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 5 minutes or 50 years. What matters is, are you pressing right now? And that's what he's saying here. One thing I do, I don't rest on my past. I don't just sit there and go, well, you know, take my ease. I mean, how often I read the book of Acts and I go, Paul, stoned and left for dead, go ahead and just relax, take it easy, find an inn somewhere, heal up, get back to it in a year or two when you get all the broken bones and bruising and all of that taken care of. He just gets right back up and he goes again. Why? Who cares what happened yesterday? Press on, he says. The one thing I do, as I forget those things, and that is so important for us. I really believe that we live in a society that is so likes to be mentally stuck in the past. Everything that ever, you know, all the horrible things that ever happened to you in the past are just wrecking me today. So that's why I'm such a terrible person. That's why I get to be a jerk to you. Because if you knew my parents, you knew all of my past, you knew all of my troubles. Great. Really? We just live in this world of, well, I'm so wonderful because look at all the wonderful things I've done in my past. Look how great I am in all of my past. Look at my wonderful upbringing in my past. Just live in the past. That's not what God has called us to do. It doesn't matter if your life and your parents and your upbringing is all a train wreck, just awful. Or it was the most wonderful thing ever. Silver spoon in your mouth. Your grandparents, every single birthday, gave you $1 million. And it was just wonderful. And you just had just a wonderful upbringing. It doesn't matter. Forgetting what lies there back in the past. I forget what lies behind. Stop worrying about back there. What are you going to do today? Press on, he says. The one thing I do, I forget what lies behind. And notice the words, he strains forward. It gives you the image of the athlete as he's crossing that tape and he's trying to reach. I'm straining, reaching forward to what lies ahead. His eyes are focused on the goal. He's not looking backward. He's focused forward. He's pressing on and looking toward what God has called him to do. And it reminds us then, we are not running some spiritual journey aimlessly. We're not running around in circles here. There is a goal that is ahead of us that we are reaching for, that we are straining for, that we are pressing on for. And our eyes will not be distracted by anything else. We're not going to look around at other things. I'm just focused, single-minded, maximum effort, focused mind, looking forward to what God has in front of us. In fact, he describes what he's straining toward in verse 14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing on. I'm straining forward. I'm reaching for this goal of the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. And I'd like for you to consider what Paul has described, not only right here, but really throughout this paragraph in chapter 3 about what he's striving for. What is he really desiring? What does he really want to possess? Because I want you to notice that what he does not say is his hope and his aim and his desire is that in heaven he will have all of his selfish physical desires finally achieved. You know, I'm pressing on toward the goal of heaven where I can just play tennis all day long and I won't have to work anymore and it'll just be palm trees and hammocks and it's just going to be wonderful to finally just be in some paradise for a while. Heaven's often described that way in this very terrible, selfish, physical concept to our minds. Now, heaven is going to be floating around on a cloud. Heaven is going to be these kinds of physical things where what we are describing regarding heaven is some kind of physical enjoyment. What I get out of it, right? And sometimes we just have people just really mock it with weird things like, you know, where you win the lottery every day, where you play basketball every day, never sprain an ankle. And it's just like all kinds of weird things that people will say about what, how to try to visualize heaven. What has the Apostle Paul said that he is pressing so hard for? What is in his goal? What is he counting as loss? Why does he count all the confidence of the flesh as trash, as rubbish? What is he desiring so ultimately but to be able to know Christ and to possess Him? That's what every line has been from verse 7 on. is, I want Christ. I desire Him. I want to know Him. I want to experience Him. I want to be with Him. I want to be counted righteous by Him. I want to experience the resurrection as Him. I want to experience the sufferings as Him. I want Christ from top to bottom. And that's what He's saying here. I'm pressing on to the goal, the prize. What's the prize? What's the goal? What are we reaching for? It's Christ. Christ is the goal. That's what He hasn't attained. That's what He's still reaching and pushing so hard for. That's what He wants so much. What made Genesis 2 in the Garden of Eden there, and we come into chapter 3? Why is that paradise? What made that place paradise? Because they could play hours of tennis and nobody to interrupt them, you know, right? Because they didn't have to pull weeds. Paradise is unhindered access to God. And sin marred that. And now access was blocked. It's all about proximity to God. Paradise is that I can be close to God. I can obtain Christ. That's the goal. That's what it's all about. Heaven is about knowing Christ. You see that kind of idea in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 when he talks about just to be able to see Him as He is. You know, not just to see the tennis court the way it is. You know, what are we talking about? What I'm getting at is, what is the hope? What are your eyes on? What is your desire when we're talking about straining forward to what lies ahead? Well, what do you visualize that lies ahead? Because Paul described what lies ahead of him is that he wants to know Christ, to be pronounced righteous by God through faith in Christ, and experience the power of the resurrection so that he could be with Him unhindered. That's the goal. Friends, that's why you and I must know Him and desire Him now. This is why you and I have to know Him and desire Him now, because what do we think heaven exactly is? What do we suppose that we're really going to be doing there? And again, that's where a lot of these physical, selfish ideas come in. Well, I'm going to be doing all kinds of things. I'm going to be shopping without a credit limit. I'm going to be, you know, what do you think heaven is? And we conjure up these ideas of, all right, I'm going to have my mansion over the hilltop with streets paved with gold, and my tears are going to be wiped away, and we've got all these concepts, and miss the big thing, which is, I want to be with Christ. I want to be with Him, unhindered, full access, in the very presence of God. I want to know Him and be with Him. That's what is so great. And that's why we have to know and desire Him now. Because what do we think we're going to be doing there? And the point is, if we don't desire Him and want Him now, then why do you think you're going to be there? If you're not enjoying Him now, what do you think eternity's all about? This is the pursuit. This is what life is all about. This is what we are pressing for. And so as we do not enjoy worship, if we do not enjoy fellowship with other Christians, if we don't enjoy studying His Word, if we don't enjoy talking about God, if we don't enjoy assembling together to learn about God, if we don't enjoy sharing the good news with other people, why would we suppose at all that we're going to enjoy what eternity is, where we are in the full force presence of God Himself? Everything that we're doing now is showing that desire because we enjoy being with Him. We enjoy being with people who are going to be there too. And we're trying to encourage one another, teach one another, press on to one another, and go to this goal. And that's why you see this intensity of Paul. Verse 12, I press on to make it my own. Verse 13, one thing I do, I forget what lies behind and strain forward to what's ahead. Verse 14, I press on to the goal. How many different ways can you say with intensity you are straining and agonizing for this great goal? Everything in the very being of Paul is reaching for this. Which then I hope you would see then the way Paul words this is that it reminds us that we do have a calling. Because notice he says this is the prize of the upward call. We have an upward call, and that will be the prize of this upward call that we have. Boy, we have a world that wants to. I'm trying to find my calling. I think I have a calling. Now here's your calling. Pursue Christ. That's the upward call. That's the heavenly call. And the prize will be Christ. The prize will be being able to enjoy Him unhindered. The prize is Him and to enjoy Him. And so we have a high calling from God. And we are not here for a worldly, earthly calling. Your calling here is not to make the world a better place. Your calling here is not to make as much money as you can. Your calling here is not some kind of financial success or achievement or making a name for yourself or any kind of thing that we often try to come up as human beings to try to give ourselves some kind of purpose or reason or destiny as why I breathe on this earth. You have one calling. Know Christ. That's the one thing. And everything else we forget. We forget what lies behind, strain forward to that one goal. And we're not paying attention to anything else, but that singular goal of straining, pressing on. And then Paul just says there in the next verse, verse 16, he just says, you know what, the mature think this way. The mature understand this. Verse 15, let those of us who are mature think this way. This is what it looks like to be a disciple of Jesus. This is the mind that the mature have, is that they desire Christ and they strain and strain and push and press and strain some more. And he says, the mature think just like this. Paul is going to talk about, hey, imitate me. He's going to get there. Imitate me. Do what I'm doing. Follow my lead. Follow my example. Press like I am pressing. And the mature understand it's not time to coast yet. The mature understand there's no looking back at life and going, well, we've come a pretty long way. We're doing pretty good. Paul says, we press on. We press on today with a greater intensity than yesterday and the day before and the day before. I think there should be a really interesting truth to that. Is that do you see within yourself that actually the intensity of the pursuit gets stronger the more you begin to understand Christ and the more you learn about Him? I think for almost everybody, coming to Christ is much more of an avoidance of consequences of eternal punishment. My concern for hell, my concern for I don't want to be in eternal punishment, I don't want to go to that place, and everybody starts there. But then the pursuit now changes, and an intensity begins. And the more I know Him, the stronger I push. The more I go, the more I want to pray, the more I want to read, that the pursuit gets stronger and the progress continues and continues and continues. And if that's not what that looks like in our lives, I want you to hear what Paul is saying. There's the mature think this way. This is what discipleship looks like. To follow this example of pressing and pursuing with great intensity. To strain forward to these things. This is what people who understand Christ will do. A recognition that we have not crossed the finish line. We just haven't. There is no reason to let up. There's no reason to start taking the victory lap. That we push and strain. In fact, I think verse 15 is interesting where he says, "And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also." I like that. And if you're going to argue with this, you're wrong. Yeah, that's a good way to put that, Paul. This is the way the mature think, and if anything that I've just said that you're not on board with that, God will reveal that to you. You're not understanding, you're not thinking right. I don't think the Apostle Paul is saying, now, if you disagree with my letter, God's going to do a mental and get you on the right track. Because if God would do that, what's the point of all these letters? God just go, okay, hey Philippians, you're messing up. There you go, there's the knowledge you need, go. I don't know what he's doing. What's he said? You'll get this. This shallow, lazy kind of thinking that these Christians may have had that he is warning them about in writing this, he's saying, you get into the Word of God, you'll understand. God will reveal this to you through my writing, the apostles' writings, through the Word of God. You'll understand this. And I see that as so true. Early in my Christian walk, I don't see this. I'm pursuing with intense. Okay, yeah, I've read these texts. So, yeah, okay, I strain externally. But not with an intensity of the heart. And you see what Paul is saying there is the mature get this. And if you don't understand that, that shows where you're at. It shows that you're not in that running realm yet. You're not grasping the maturity that is found there in Christ. And he says, you'll begin to understand that the Word of God will reveal to you that your perspective in life is completely out of sync with what God has called us to do. We need that. And that's why the Apostle Paul would write those kinds of things over and over again to remind us that it is the Word of God that shows us that we are darkened in our understanding and that we are broken in our thinking, like Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17 through 19. Is that our lives get completely out of sync and we pursue all of these other things. And Paul says, you know, I got one thing. And if you don't see it as the one thing, you get back to the Word and you'll see that's the one thing. God will reveal that to you. You'll understand exactly what God is trying to explain to you. You see the singular pursuit that's been given. And so verse 16 is our conclusion. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Don't fall backward. Hold on to where you're at. Don't slip back. Don't fall down. Don't go back. To use what the writer of Hebrews was using, don't drift from the standard by which you've been taught and to where you've come. You understand, in this process, you must keep reaching forward every day. As soon as you are not reaching forward every day, that very day, you've drifted back some. And that's what he's saying. So hold on to this. You hold on to what you've attained. Don't let go of it. Don't think that you're just going to coast by. You think about the way life works, how quickly the current of our society will cause us to drift away from God. So easily. The world is a strong, strong current. And we're in the midst of this stream, and it is pulling us as quickly as we can away from God. Unless we're straining forward, and we're giving every effort to continue to push forward and forward toward God. As soon as we let up a little bit, we're being drifting away. And that's what Paul is saying. Hold on to where you're at. Hold on to what you've attained. Let us hold true to the things that we have attained. There's a picture then that we must give maximum effort to remain with the Lord. Let us not take for granted where we stand with Christ. And it is so easy to think that, well, I've hit this milestone, I can just stand there and take my ease. And as soon as we let up at all, how Satan quickly comes in there and will pull you away. So quickly We can be pursuing God diligently with the love of heart, and it quickly just turns away from Him. You've all experienced it. It's just kind of the way we are as humans, right? From the simple things like you skip reading the Scriptures one day, and guess what? It's a little bit easier to skip it the next day. And the next day it's even a little bit easier. And pretty soon days have turned to weeks. And you skip prayer today. And tomorrow, you know what? It's easy to skip prayer tomorrow and the next day. And you skip assembling with one another. Guess what? It becomes easy the next day to skip again and skip again. This is the way it works. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying. To hold on to where you're at. To prize your spiritual journey and this pursuit. To appreciate it. To recognize that it can be gone in a moment, that you'll be drifting away. So strain forward to the prize of the upward call that we one day, to be with Christ. That is going to be awesome. Before your song looks out, let's sing an invitation song. We invite you to come to Jesus. And we invite you to have a spiritual pursuit, to seek Him with all of your heart, to give everything, because Christ has given everything for us. Paul says, I'm pressing on and making it my own because Christ has made me His own. He has taken possession of you if you're a child of God. Press on and possess Him with all of your heart. If you're not a Christian, will you turn away from your sins and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins? And if you are a Christian, but you've drifted, throw the anchor down. Get in the Word of God. Get your prayer life going. Get with other Christians. Let us help you and start striving and straining forward to the upward call and the prize that's been given to us. Will you come and do that now while we stand and while we sing?